I dragged my own piano into my classroom when I was teaching at Cascade and Sarah Smith and Warren Jackson and Garden Hills Elementary Schools in Atlanta. And I just saw that the arts enliven all of education. And I felt that it shouldn't be viewed as an avocation, but rather a vocation. Education in the arts is just as important as a professional school in medicine or law, for example. Of course, for accreditation purposes and to have a well-rounded education, students have classical classes and classical training in the liberal arts and in the fine arts. Later, they evolve into their majors, and they're very focused. They're very ready to work when they graduate from SCAD.
Some of those practices you developed for SCAD were unlike what other colleges and universities had. In fact, some would say maybe more of a business model you had in mind. For example, tell us your thoughts about tenure.
Tenure. Well, we don't have tenure at SCAD, but we have a large and continuing faculty. We believe that the students earn their place in the world through their value of their work. And we teach many subjects that people might not have thought of as being part of an art and design curriculum. For instance, industrial design or film and television or animation is a very big major at SCAD, fashion design. Advertising, graphic design, photography. We do have painting, we have sculpture, we have printmaking, we have photography, we have traditional fine arts studies at SCAD as well. But students can study performing arts, they can study sequential art, which is storybook art, comic book art. They can have their choice at SCAD.
You didn't begin with this huge variety of classes.
Oh, no.
And you didn't, well, you had 30 faculty 2 years after the school was formed. What enabled you to expand?
I think meeting a need, listening, keeping one ear to the ground to hear what employers want and need, and another ear to hear what students want and need. For instance, a student had the idea of having fashion as a major. And now it's one of our biggest majors, especially at SCAD Atlanta, which is the fashion capital of the South, of course.
You also write about how the Savannah community was skeptical of an art school. They didn't want people with green and purple hair in their city. How did those purple hair people change Savannah?
Our work in historic preservation really endeared us to people in Savannah because Savannah is the oldest city in Georgia, and the old buildings are part of the character of the original city of Georgia. We preserved many buildings, and we have a whole major in historic preservation, undergraduate and graduate. And then with all the festivals and engagements that we have that are open to the public in Atlanta and Savannah, people just come in. They come to SCAD Fash. They come to the SCAD Museum of Art. They come to the ATV Fest. They come to the Savannah Film Festival. They see the value of the disciplines that we're teaching, and they also meet our students, and they fall in love.
Building SCAD was a family affair. You write about your parents and their invaluable contribution. You also quite literally built SCAD up from the ground, renovating the first building, the armory. Tell us more about that armory. It was extraordinary. I mean, its history is extraordinary, and it was a Beaux-Arts design.
It's a very strong building. The Savannah Militia was around from 1751, but by the time I arrived in Savannah on the scene in 1978, the membership had dwindled to a few retired soldiers who kind of kept it up as a hobby, but not as anything that they could really sustain. So they were looking for a purchaser. They thought that a new art college was a good civic purpose, just as they had tried to serve their communities over the years. And so they decided to sell the building to SCAD. I became an accidental preservationist. Now I've never met an old building that I didn't like. I noticed your building here, designed in the 1950s. Some of our buildings are from the 1800s all the way up to more present day. We do build a few buildings, but mainly SCAD has become known for historic preservation.
Would you please describe your first graduation ceremony?
Well, it was very hot. It was outdoors in Madison Square. We held an entire graduation ceremony for one student, one solitary graduate who had transferred to SCAD, so that's why she was the only person in her graduating class. And she arrived by carriage, one of the tourist carriages in Savannah, and all of us dressed up in our caps and gowns, and we marched out into the square and had an entire graduation ceremony for one student.
In the book, you write that forward is your favorite motto. As president of SCAD, you have pushed the school forward from rebuilding a church on Sapelo Island to expanding to three more campuses. You're international. Did you ever imagine that you would have that far-reaching an impact?
I did not have that as a vision. However, I've seen how there is an opportunity and an advantage for our students once they're enrolled in SCAD to be able to study at any of the campuses. So they can study in a charming medieval village in La Coste, France. They can study in Asia's world city of Hong Kong. They can study in Atlanta. They can study in Savannah. They may move around seamlessly throughout their studies, undergraduate and graduate, into all of those campuses. And students do that. Sometimes they come back more than once to La Coste, which is a tiny little place. But each one offers a lifestyle, a lesson in learning about living in the world. And I think students take something away from that that's lasting.
The Bee and the Acorn is the name of your memoir, and it's also SCAD's crest. Toward the end of the book, you write about how more and more you find answers in metaphors. Why the bee and the acorn?
Well, the bee is an insect that's not supposed to be able to fly when you consider its rather plump body and its little ephemeral wings. I think SCAD is busy making beautiful things like bees make honey. The acorn is a symbol of potential. An acorn is very tiny, but then, as we see with mighty oak trees, sometimes it may take centuries, but they are very strong and provide shade and interlocking limbs for each other. I think that's what our students and our alumni do.
Paula Wallace, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you, Lois.